Gave agus falchu go Jean Clark come and look class gael na shock than a shawl. The meet Tom Comack with you as usual until 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night. And as always, hope you can stay with us. Very busy programme, I have to say, lined up tonight. Coming up on tonight's programme, we hear from the young Glenties woman and student at LYIT who went on scholarship to Taiwan last summer and discovered a whole new J world she had never knew existed. Rose Mannering, a Niamh Connell player, discovered that there was a big J scene in Asia and a club. And found a club on our first day in Taipei, the capital of Taiwan, the Taiwan Celts. This week, Rose is entertaining five members of that Taiwan Celts side, and we'll be picking them later in the programme. Also on tonight's programme, we'll hear from Donegal PRO Ed Byrne on the changes to the makeup of the Donegal All-County Football League, which were mooted at a special meeting of the clubs and the Donegal Competitions Control Committee on Monday night. But first tonight, we're joined by former Donegal player and Damien Diver, of course, who was a mentor with Jim McGuinness in 2014. And, well, first of all, Damien, a very good night to you.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
How you doing? And, Damien, I know you're not very happy. Could you tell us why?
Yes, Tom. I just felt obliged just now. I'm not a man for ruffling feathers and all of that, do you know what I mean? But I just felt after that, the interview with Pat Chauvin there during the week and the treasurer came out and said about our the Holly situation, you know, the Holly fiasco in the county. You know, it just annoyed me that I think people are being misled, and at the end of the day, it's not about.
Just can I stop you there for a minute? Maybe not everybody is aware of what the difficulty is and what the problem is, and maybe some people don't see it as a difficulty. Could you just for those listeners that aren't aware of, could you give us a background what it is? It's in relation to the Donegal team holiday for what 2014.
That's right. The two teams get to the All Ireland final are given a grant or monies by Crow Park to the tune of 80,000 each. And to put towards their holiday. Now, I think they can't draw down that grant until that, you know, as long as they have their funds to match it as well to make up the difference for the team holiday, right?
So Donegal qualified and reached the All Ireland final, and so unfortunately lost to Kerry in 2014.
Right. That's right. Yes, and there was a holiday arranged then for the end of December, and we were told that time then Papa was getting married around that time.
That's Paul Dorcan.
Yes, aye. Whoever couldn't get married, whoever couldn't go on holiday that time, could go on a second holiday later on, you know, to be organised. But as it turned out then, there were too many that couldn't go that time, so there was an alternative holiday then organised, not that one, later on, in January or February. And most of the team and some of the mentors managed to get on that one, but there was about seven that couldn't get on that one. Now, there was no second holiday arranged for anybody that couldn't get in that one. At the end of the day, like it's an amateur organisation. Everybody has ties and business to look after, and between Wayne's and everything else, you know, there's seven people couldn't get on it. You know, I know there's some people that has took all their holidays to, you know, to help out with the team, and that no holidays left to take. So they couldn't get in that, and we were told then that nothing else was to be arranged for you. There was no second holiday. That left the table altogether then.
So but just to clarify here, I'm led to believe at the very first meeting, Damien, where everybody came together, members of the management team and the backroom team and the county officials, there was a suggestion about a second holiday, all right. But I from what I'm led to believe now, as I said, I'm only led to believe because obviously I've been following this story closely and doing bits on it from time to time. It was decided at that meeting, at the request of the players, that there'd be no the two holidays. That it'd be all one, and that was all one unit, and everybody was to go together.
Right, aye, and then I wasn't at that meeting, so it wasn't annoyed, so it wasn't new.
From what I gathered, there were two requests come from the players. One was that there be no two holidays, that there be the one holiday, and that they go somewhere warm.
Right, yes, okay.
Anyway, the bottom line is you couldn't go on the holiday. There were six others, mostly mentors. I think there was one player couldn't go. And there was going to be no other holiday for you. Is that right?
That's right, aye. Yeah. And usually in that situation, vouchers would be maybe issued for anybody that couldn't go, just so they could go whenever suited themselves, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I did inform Kieran Kelly, the county treasurer, that you were coming on tonight and offered him to come on, but Kieran said that he had spoken as much as he wanted about it. And in fairness to him, he has gone on the record and he has said quite clearly last week in the Democrat, and I know when the story broke first in the Democrat last February, that in actual fact Donegal weren't allowed, or the GAA doesn't allow for holiday vouchers to be paid or to be given to those who are only able to take up the holiday, and actually that at the time back in February was confirmed to me too by Croke Park that was the case, that Croke Park didn't allow team vouchers or holiday vouchers to be given to people that they weren't allowed. So, you know, in fairness to Kieran Kelly, as he said last week in the Democrat, his hands are tied.
That's been dismissed this week already by the GPA. Now, the GPA and Croke Park are all under the one roof now. The GPA isn't a separate organisation now at all. So the GPA have dismissed that this week, so they have in their statement, haven't they, Tom?
Yes, I think a spokesman for the GPA was in the Irish News last week and a couple of other places as well, where he stated that the implication with the holiday voucher is that there's a tax implication or a revenue issue for the people that receive it. So
right, okay. Well, sure. I can guarantee. I would say if anybody that did receive a voucher and there were tax implications, I don't think people are hiding behind. That'd be like me telling the staff you can't have extra wages because it's going to cost you extra money in tax. You know, I think it's unfair to hide behind that.
Yeah, but you know, if that's and in fairness as well to the county board, the previous treasurer Grace Boyle, who did have a situation in place where she compensated people who couldn't go in 2012, did state at the time back in February when we ran the story as well and went on the public record that actually vouchers weren't allowed.
Right, and what did they do that time?
They were compensated financially instead.
Right.
But the implication was that at the time that it was up to the player then to declare that to the income tax.
Exactly, that's right. That is on our plate, on the player's plate or on the mentor's plate.
Well, that's
understandable enough, you know. But to leave it that way, why not issue the money and or the vouchers and hide behind that?
Right.
You know,
right.
But Tom, it's important to state, like at this stage now, like I have a job. I was lucky enough. We went on a family holiday in the middle of the summer there, so we did. Like, it's not about the holiday, Tom. It's not. Like, good people have given up their lives. Like, I know, and I've played it, and I mentored along with Jim from the very first meeting in the Downings till the All-Ireland last year. You know, it was all about the team ethic, one level for everybody. There was no superstars in that squad, and that's the ethic that Jim put into that whole squad. You know what I mean? And this just flies in the face of that now. It's all about respect. You know, the good people now are being discriminated against. Why? Because they're part of an amateur organisation that couldn't get on holiday on a holiday whenever it suited them. You know that kind of way. And it's just like as if you're gone but forgotten now.
Right. Just back to the GPA for a minute. At the time when the problem arose, when last January or February first, when were you first informed, or you guys were first informed that you weren't going to get anything?
It looked like it from probably just after the team went. From then on, it kind of developed then, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
It's not something.
And was there any representation made to the GPA at that stage?
I'm not sure now.
Right.
Not sure at all.
Yeah. Because I've been led to believe again, and as I say, I'm open to correction on this, that the GPA were approached at the time and they said there was nothing they could do about it. So the GPA seemed to have changed their stance on it. So again, this is all hearsay, but the GPA spokesperson that we know came out last week and said that there was no difficulty with it and there was no tax implication. That has been refuted by the Donegal board again, and says that they're still, the hands are tied. So there, it probably seems to be a bigger problem than just a Donegal problem. It seems to be a GAA problem.
It does. Well, it probably is, but it seems to be only a problem in Donegal at the moment, because I haven't heard any other county team mention it, you know. So obviously there's people getting, and players and mentors getting something round the rest of Ireland, you know.
Or else they're just accepting their lot and taking and getting nothing.
I doubt that.
Yeah. Have you made any contact, or you know the way players meet former players or whatever, you know? Have you got, for say, players, obviously Kilkenny have been tired of holidays at this stage, and I know what Kerry have been on a few, and Dublin are going on one on this year again, so, and they've been on a few. Have you met any of those players, or do you know how they...
No, but I'd be hard to believe that 50 or 60 people at the one time can get away on holidays at the one time. To be honest, Tom, you know, in the laws of average.
So, what are you looking for now? Because, okay, this erupted first. John Duffy raised it, what, back in February. He didn't seem to get an awful lot of support at that stage. What are you expecting now?
Just acknowledgement, really. You know, the holidays, regardless, you know what I mean? They can, if they wanted to give the vouchers to charity, if they want, you know, that kind of way, but... All we want is respect at the end of the day, do you know what I mean? Acknowledge that, yes, that they deserve that. Good enough, you know.
Yeah, because you feel that given all that you put in over the year and other people put in, and obviously you have a long career with the county as well, and obviously the holiday was only for last year, that it's a total lack of respect, disrespect.
I feel for like... What is it? The county's won eight Ulster championships and Jim's won three of them in 4 years. You know, to me, for Jim alone, not to be acknowledged with a holiday voucher at the end of that. You know, it's I don't know, Tom. It just annoys me. You know, to be honest.
And what do you hope to happen at this stage?
I don't know, Tom. We'll just have to see. You know, I would like for somebody to come out and say yes. You know. The likes of Jim and the boys have put in that effort and put the heart and soul in Donegal football and in the last 5 years, in the last year, let them come out and say, yes, they deserve, and we held it back and should have got it.
And are you saying tonight, did I catch you earlier, that you're not worried about the voucher anymore, you're quite willing to donate yours to charity?
Aye.
Okay, Damien, we'll leave it at that, and thank you for joining us, and hopefully we'll get some resolution to that. As I said, Kieran Kelly, the county treasurer, spoke to him earlier, and he didn't wish to come on. He said he had all he had said, and in fairness to Kieran, he has, the treasurer has certainly outlined his reasons why. There's Damien Diver there joining us tonight, not too happy with the Donegal County Board, the way he and his fellow mentors and one player were shabbily treated, as he feels, by the County Board. But it's interesting, he's willing to offer his voucher for charity, so maybe some charity around our draw around Donegal could benefit that for over the Christmas and maybe run a draw for it or whatever. And anyway, moving on, you're listening to the GAA programme with me, Tom Comack, tonight on a Wednesday night. My congratulations to Termin ladies and to Sean McCool's hurlers who advanced in their respective Ulster championships at the weekend. Termin had a comprehensive victory over St Paul's. Sean McCool's defeated Tuaigh Gaels in the Ulster Intermediate Championship. And also a big congratulations to Sloch Neil of Derry, who won the Derry Senior Championship and defeated Owen Rose of Coleraine in the final on Sunday afternoon. And well, that's a notable treble, a first ever historic treble for Sloch Neil, and indeed for any club in the country. They won the senior football, the senior hurling and the senior camogie championships all in the 1 year. And of course, that's the double in terms of football and hurling. They won the football and hurling both last year. So congratulations to John Joe Kearney and to Mickey Moran and to everybody involved there with Sloch Neil. Well, moving on tonight, as I mentioned earlier, Rose Mannering is from Glenties, and last summer, actually, Rose, who was a student at LBIT, went on a scholarship to Taiwan and discovered a whole new GAA world out there. This week, five of the Taiwan Celt ladies who she found playing Gaelic football from all corners of the globe have been in Donegal, and indeed they're Rose is hosting them in Glenties last night and again tonight. But yesterday afternoon, they had a training session down at the Letterkenny IT under Donegal G or LYIT G coach Eamon O'Boyle. And I spoke to Rose and her five Taiwan Celtic lady colleagues afterwards. Well, Rose, first of all, I suppose you tell us how you got these visitors to Letterkenny and how this whole Gaelic football thing came about.
I do business and languages in the LYIT, and I applied for a scholarship to Taiwan last summer. and I got it. And on the first day of me arriving there, I found out that there was a Taiwan Celts team that played Gaelic, so I went and joined.
Yeah. And just a reminder, of course, you were from Atlantis, Niamh Connell play, and you still play with Niamh Connell.
I do.
Good. So tell us the story from there. You found out that there was a Taiwan Celts. Did that surprise you?
Yeah, well, I didn't think, you know, I didn't know much about women's Gaelic internationally, you know, and I didn't think many people played it, you know, and when I got out there, I was shocked to find that there was a men's team, and not only that, that there was a women's team, and in my opinion, showed more potential than the men's team for the championship, you know.
Yeah.
And I went out and I kind of started training with them, and I mean, in fairness to those lads that run it, I mean, They do so well because they have very little funding and all that stuff, and they have to hire out an old rugby pitch. And of course, there's no GAA pitches there. There's no nothing. And there's a couple of lads from down the country, is it Kerry and Claire, Sean and Brian, and they do a great job. And it's humbling when you see that out there, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you're standing with your sunblocks burning your eyes. You're in 35 degrees of heat, and these lads are out trying to teach people from all over the world how to play this sport. Yeah. And they love it. And they're ambassadors for the sport, those people that do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And, of course, you have five of those ladies here today. And
I do. I have five of them. They came to see me, yeah. So I kind of helped out with their coaching and a wee bit of the women's rules and hardened them up a wee bit and sent them out to the Asian Championship last year. And they came runners-up, but they did beat UCD, the international team from, you know, Dublin or whatever else. So we're delighted about that.
Yeah. And how many teams are out in that neck of the woods? Or that
there's loads. I mean, there was more women's teams there last year than there were men's teams, and that's the first time that happened. But there's a lot of teams, and it runs over a few days, as far as I know. But I'm sure Ishwan and Larissa would probably be able to tell you more about it. I was kind of a coach. I got to play with them against some rugby teams that learned the rules for, you know, challenge matches and things. But unfortunately, I didn't get to the championship. I had to come home to my kids.
Yeah. But as I said, they've come to see you now.
In Ulster football.
My name is Ishwan. I'm from Taiwan.
And how did you come to play Gaelic football?
A few guys play touch rugby in Taiwan, and they invited me to join Taiwan Celts, and we train every 3 times a week, and I've been playing Gaelic football for 3 years.
Right.
Start from 2012.
What was the appeal of Gaelic football?
I like the family feeling. The whole team, we are like family. We train together. We go out together. I learn the Irish culture through these friends. Very good friends. Very good atmosphere.
Yeah. And where are you from?
Taiwan, Taipei.
Taipei. You're from Taipei. And and the Taiwan Celts are based in Taipei, are they?
Yes.
Yeah. So how popular is it out there now, ladies, Gaelic football?
It's actually getting more and more popular. When I first joined, we had like 20 girls, and now we have more. In the training, sometimes we can get to more than 30. And the year I joined the Asia Gaelic game, we sent one full team, 12 players to Shanghai, and we had two men's team.
How many games do you play, or do you play tournaments or challenge games? Or
Taiwan, sometimes it's just a fun training and game, but sometimes we invite a Gaelic team from Shanghai, from Singapore, from Vietnam, or Thailand. They come to Taiwan to have maybe a morning games. And then every October, we will have an Asia Gaelic game in either Shanghai or Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia.
Right, okay.
Yes.
So you're enjoying Gaelic football.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, I know, with a smile on your face. And you've enjoyed your training session here today.
Yeah, great. Very
okay.
Good.
Hi, my name's Larissa Seegers. I'm from Australia.
Yeah. And tell me about how Larissa came to play Gaelic football.
Well, I went to live in Taiwan to work for a year. And I was only in Taiwan for about a week when I met Ishwan, and she invited me to come and play, so I did.
Yeah. And had you heard of Gaelic football before? Did you know it existed?
Yeah, I had heard of it, and I had seen it being played, and Ishwan was very surprised that I had heard of it, so she was quite excited.
And how did that come about, that you'd heard about it?
I have friends that play Gaelic football in Australia, but I had never played it before.
You never attempted to try it?
No.
And what made you try it in Taiwan?
I suppose because all the friends I made in Taiwan were playing it, so I thought I would join along, and it's now my new favourite sport.
Yeah, and are you long playing?
Just 1 year.
Right, and what would have been your sport beforehand?
Probably just running and yoga and rock climbing and hiking and just more.
And what's the appeal of Gaelic football to you?
I just think you can do so many things on the field. So you can, you know, kick it, you can handball it, you can, it's
and
a mix of so many different sports.
Yeah. And do you train often?
So we were training anywhere between 1 and 3 times a week back in Taiwan. Yeah.
This is your first time to Ireland?
Second,
right?
Yes.
Okay. So you came over here just to take in Gaelic football and watch as much of it as you could, is that right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And have you learned much?
Yes, yeah. We went to watch the girls' final
in
Dublin. Yeah, it was great. Yeah. Yeah.
And any Irish connection, any family connection out of Ireland?
I think all Australians have a bit of Irish in them,
somewhere.
So yeah, I do.
You don't know what part?
Well, I'm about 1/16 or something like that.
No. Mm. Okay, enjoy your stay here.
Right,
okay.
I'm Jenny Munro. I'm from Australia as well, from Brisbane.
Yeah, so another Aussie here coming, playing Gaelic football. And how did that come about?
Well, same deal with Larissa, because I went to Taiwan with Larissa, so that's we found out together.
Yeah.
I had actually played it before in Brisbane. It's quite a strong Gaelic football scene there. So
I noticed the touches out there. That's probably why you were a little bit better than some of the rest, maybe a little slicker with your hand passes.
I don't know.
Had you played it for long? Had you played it for long?
On and off for a few years.
And again, as I've asked everybody else, what's the attraction of Gaelic football?
I think... Yeah, that it is a mixture of sports. It's a mixture of different skills. You need a lot of fitness. You do a lot of running. It's kicking. It's passing. It's bouncing. Yeah, and I think just that it's a combination of so many skills.
Yeah. And do you watch much Gaelic football now that it's covered, you know, television? You get All-Ireland finals and everything. Do you watch the game?
We have, actually. Well, as the others have probably said, we watched the ladies' All-Ireland final the weekend we got here. And also, having been involved with the Gaelic team in Taiwan, we would stay up late at night and watch some of the Gaelic games that were telecast live.
Right.
So that was fun as well.
And tell me, obviously, we all follow teams and we all have our favourite teams. Have you any favourite Irish team you follow? You know, the way we play?
Oh, I might get in trouble here. So I'd have to say I supported Dublin in the final last weekend because of our friend Maria. I'll get in trouble if I say I supported anyone else.
Okay, so you're enjoying your stay here?
I did very much.
Great. Thanks a million.
My name's Amy Buchek and I'm from Texas, USA.
Yeah. And how did Amy from Texas come to play Gaelic football?
I was teaching in Taiwan for 2 years. And about 6 months after, a guy from New Zealand said, "Wow, you can catch a ball. You should try Gaelic football." And I was like, "Oh yeah, I have no idea what that is."
Yeah, you weren't aware of Gaelic football?
No, never heard of it.
And what was your sport beforehand?
Volleyball, basketball.
So obviously there's quite a lot of the skills. Especially the basketball.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of people afterwards ask me, "Oh, are you a basketball player?" Oh,
yeah. Well, some of the basketball players in the Irish men's game, some of the top Gaelic players come from basketball because obviously the flick, quick hands and stuff like that, you know. So, and have you been playing the game long?
About 2 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're playing with the Taiwan Celts. That's the only club you played with, isn't it?
No, actually, when I finished my contract in Taiwan, I went back to Austin and I joined the Celtic Cowboys out of Austin.
All right. So there's a club in
Boston. Yeah, Austin and Dallas have clubs.
Right. So. And women's teams?
Both, women's, and Camogie and,
Perlings. You haven't taken up the Camogie yet? No,
not yet, no.
Yeah, that's a very skillful game, isn't it?
Yeah.
And tell me, in terms of competitions, I was talking to the other girls about it. Do you have much competitions, many games, or is it just mostly training?
No, it's mostly training. I wish it was more competition. I did a little travel in Spain.
Yeah.
And I found some teams in Spain. So while I was traveling, I got to get out and go compete. I joined the Madrid team there, and we played a tournament with them.
So you have multi clubs. You've been quite about everywhere.
Everywhere. Clubs are everywhere.
Everywhere you go, you look for.
Yeah,
and does that amaze you?
It does amaze me. I'm traveling by myself. You instantly meet people, and they try to help you out any way you can.
And it's obviously having a Gaelic, you know, it's a good link when you go somewhere, isn't it?
For sure.
Gives you an opportunity because there is a social side to it as well.
Oh, definitely a social side. So yeah, every time I go to, I look and see if they have a Gaelic team.
Right. Mm-hmm. And have you been to Ireland before?
This is my first time.
Good. Mm-hmm. And what do you make of Ireland?
Oh, I love it. All the small towns. We all say it's great crack.
Yeah. And you've been here for a fortnight, so you've traveled a good bit of the country, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. We've seen a good part of it, and everything's really beautiful, especially the small towns are my favourite.
Right. Yeah. And when you go back, is it the Asian Games, is it, or...?
The Asian Games are in 3 weeks, so we fly to Shanghai in 3 weeks.
Yeah, so obviously you have to be in bed early every night when you're here.
Of course, yeah. No more crap.
My name is Maria Reardon. I'm from Dublin, Donegal, County Dublin.
Great. So, an Irish girl among all these. So, are you living and working out in Taiwan?
Yeah, so, well, not right now. So, I was there for 5 months with work. So, I went to Taiwan in April for 5 months. So, that's how I met all the girls and started playing Gaelic football. So, I travel a lot with work. So, usually the first thing I do is find a Gaelic football team. And I'm settled in already straight away.
Well, had you played it at home in Dublin?
I actually never played in Dublin. I started playing football in South Africa. Like, so I never played Gaelic football in Ireland. I was a soccer player.
Right.
So I went to South Africa with work back in 2010, and I found a team there, a guy's team there. So.
And how did it come about that you played Gaelic out there? Because I'm sure there's soccer teams out there as well.
Yeah, I guess, well, a great way to meet Irish people. So, yeah, I said, looked up a Gaelic football team and found one, and yeah.
Yeah. And are you long playing the game?
Well, since 2010, so like 5 years. What is it? Yeah, 5 years. Yeah.
Well, of course, if you're playing soccer and, you know, there's a lot of the same skills, obviously. Yeah. Other, kicking and running.
Yeah,
and,
exactly. You know, catching a ball, yeah.
Catching a ball is quite different, all right. But other than that, you know. And are you amazed at all the people that take up the game and are? It's been played so much abroad?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, the teams I've played with, it's hardly any Irish people on the teams. It's usually like, you know, local people. Like in Taiwan, there's lots of locals and a mixture of all nationalities, you know, Australians, Americans, you know, yeah. Canadians, everything. So, yeah.
Yeah, and they all take to the game, don't they?
Everybody loves it, yeah. And they love the bit of crack as well afterwards.
Yeah, the crack seems to be coming up a lot here.
The social side helps, all right.
Yeah. But obviously from somebody from Ireland going abroad, obviously it's a great link when you arrive.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you feel at home already, you know. You meet a few Irish people and a few other nationalities too, and it's great, you know. It's brilliant.
So the game has a bright future, obviously.
Oh, it definitely does, yeah. So, yeah, I'm heading out to the Asian Gaelic game, so I can't wait for that now to play with the Taiwan South. So,
right,
yeah.
And you did very well last year, beat UCD, didn't you?
Yeah. They did, right? I wasn't there last year, so I'm hoping this year I think we meet them again, so we're hoping to go out and win this year.
Brilliant. Yeah. Okay, all the best and enjoy your
Cheers.
Stay. Okay. So there you have it, the Taiwan Celt Ladies Gaelic football team, five members of them who are in Donegal this week, been hosted by Rose Mannering from Glenties, and we wish them they have a very good time. They seem to be enjoying, as I said themselves, the crack here in Donegal, but it just shows you how popular Gaelic games are throughout the world, and maybe sometimes here at home overlooked. But my thanks to Rose and the ladies, and as I said, they're heading back to Taiwan on Saturday and competing in those Asian games at the end of the month out in Shanghai. That's about it for this week. Just to remind you again, of course, another busy weekend coming up here in Donegal. We have that Junior Football Championship final replay between Red Hughes and Niamh Ulton on Saturday night, McCool Park. It's Fanad Gaels versus Niamh Colmkill in that Intermediate Championship semi-final replay on Sunday at afternoon, and Ardra versus Gweedore in another replay in the Senior Reserve Championship on Sunday afternoon as well, or Saturday evening as well. That's about it from me from another week. My thanks to Jimmy Stafford, my thanks to Rose Mannering, and my thanks to Damien Diver as well. Gojian Shocklin Shahogan, O me Tom Comex, Slonagas Bannock.
The GAA program with Tom Comex.